Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
The great Bible story is designed for us to see how God has worked in and through people so that we are prepared to live the life God has called us to. And that's what we want to do. Okay, we want to do that. Now, yeah, I want to remind you, try to keep your judgment meter off, okay? You know, thank you. The words of Jesus, judge not, lest you be judged. Somebody was quoting that to me this week, too. I can't remember who it was now. They were, judge not, lest you be judged. And then he goes on to say, don't try to take the speck out of your brother's eye until you've removed the mote from your own eye. And I love, Pastor, you said one morning, you said we all have blind spots. I remember when you said that. You were so good. Siri, that was just great stuff, okay? Because I had heard that. And you use your finger, and that's what they tell you. They'll tell you you can find that blind spot if you look for it when that finger disappears. And I've seen you do that. It was great stuff. And we all have blind spots, and we just know that. So we have gaps. And so we want to just recognize that. Okay, so try to keep the judgment meter down a little bit for tonight. Okay, well, you'll see why. We'll work on that. Now, if I would say Rahab, do you know anything about Rahab? What do you know about Rahab? Tell me a couple things. Just a couple things. There you go. It's a talent. You never know when you'll need it. That was good, Jerry. Something else. What you know about Rahab? Go ahead. Yeah. And that's part of that was part of why I wanted to bring out Rahab, with all her faults, without mercy, quite used of God, and was in the position God had put her. Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, okay. How about Abigail? Anybody know anything about Abigail? That's a great way to put it. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry? Oh, yes. Yeah. I love those Savior stories. That's what I call those Savior stories where she saves David from being really, really stupid, making all that terrible mistake and that kind of thing. And those people in your life are just sweet. They're just sweet. That's all there is to it. Would you describe Abigail to me? Boom. Boom. That's what we want. That's what we want. Good. All right. How about Ruth? Do we know anything about Ruth? Ruth. What? Yep. Yep. I'll restrict myself, okay? I'll stay in this area right here. Huh? Oh, it's not a box. It's fine. What something else about Ruth? Yes. Yeah. Someone else, something you didn't know about. I want to remind you that Ruth was in the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus. We're going to talk about another lady that's in the genealogy of Jesus, and that is Bathsheba. Okay? Do you know anything about Bathsheba? I just wonder. Okay. So, we will start the introduction, 2 Samuel, 11th chapter, 11th chapter, verse 1. And you could tell that it's starting a new story, a new section. You could tell that the writer is starting. And I don't know who wrote this. I probably attributed to Samuel, I guess. I know it's about Samuel, but it doesn't really indicate the writer. Not like Luke, you know who wrote that. Okay, in the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, so you got a time you go to war, and the time it's a time of year that you go to war. David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Joey's already shaking his head. What's the matter, Joey? Bad king. You go to war. I'll stay here. I got the palace covered. And this is not in the character of David either. You see, yeah, this is not like part of his character. His character is go kill him. And that's just part of his character. Okay, so you see, we're entering a new story here. We got a story to do. I Zoom with three other guys, maybe four now, out of church. We Zoom on Monday morning, 9 o'clock, and we've been doing this now over a year, I think, about a year and a half. You started all. Yeah, you try to get, okay. And we've been reading a guy called Eldridge. And he says everything's about a story. All of life is about a story. And he makes a lot of sense with it. And I go along with it. Okay, so when we see we're going to have a story about David and Bathsheba tonight, okay? But it's a story. And I want you to think of what's the story of your life. And if you haven't thought about that very much, I suggest you think about that. Maybe even write it down. You know, that kind of thing. But think about the story of your life. So we're entering a new story here, a new time for David especially. You know, Joab, you go out and take care of business. I'll stay here and be in the castle, okay? And you see they got a place to siege, but David remained in Jerusalem. So that's the introduction, kind of setting the stage for us to get this story down, okay? Temptation. How many of you know about temptation? You like that? Yeah. I know. Move on. Yeah. I just want to say before you start, okay, I know how long temptation will last in your life. Now, I'm talking about specifics. Boy, yeah, I would say a little bit different. Yeah, I'm in that place right there. Yeah. As long as there's a possibility you might give in, it remains. All right. Okay. Thought that'd be good. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. He's got insomnia. Oh, you should see this argument over here. I love this. No, he got no business up there. What are they doing up there? I don't. Well, you don't have to, you know. All right. But he's got insomnia. He can't sleep. He's a man of action. And all right, okay. And Yeah. Okay. And what did he saw from there? A woman bathing. Imagine that. Yeah, I just saw her bathing. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The woman was very beautiful. Okay. And David sent someone to find out about her. This is trying to get her telephone number. That's what that's about. He's trying to make that contact. Yeah. The man said she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Okay. What's woo? The wife. The wife. Yeah. In the genealogy of Jesus, when she's mentioned, the guy writing it wouldn't even write her name. Matthew wouldn't even write her name. She is mentioned there as the wife of Uriah. I thought that was kind of strange. It might be that she's so distasteful to him that he can't even write her name down. You know. Yeah, he did all right with David. That was fine. When David sent messengers to get her, she came to him and slept with him, with her. She was purified herself for her monthly uncleanness, then went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. So now, I'm sorry? Well, now, anyway, we don't know if it was just one time, you know. It only takes one time, but we don't know that it was just one time. Okay. So. Yeah. Will you go share that with us, Phil? Are you going to share that with us? Ah. That's if there's nothing in the text that will disallow that, and there is, you know, but yeah, I thought that was put in there because that's whole unclean. Can I talk like this to you guys? So, okay, yeah. You notice there's no teenagers here tonight. Good, that's good. But the whole idea of women being unclean and that kind of thing, being separate, like, from their husband, and then they're okay. They say that's when they're fertile. Not too long after the period is they're fertile. I don't know. I'm not a biologist like that, but it's this kind of design that you get back together and get busy. Whatever washing or I would tell you how, just let me tell you how marvelous you guys are to talk like this tonight. I'm sure I want to say how marvelous we've been doing a through history, the experience of the average person and that kind of thing. And professor's done a really good job. We're probably got 36, 37 lectures into it now. Not one word has been about how debilitating the menstrual cycle is to women in history. Not so much now, but in history, how debilitating that was. Not one word. Why not? Now you got to ask it. Why not? Because right now, that's not part of the discussion. So I would say what you're discussing tonight. And I just think you're brave, and I think you're smart to do this. Okay. Okay, so we got the stage kind of set now. What do we got? We got adultery. And the law calls, if you want to write this down, it's Deuteronomy 22:22. The law calls for, if you catch a man with another man's woman having adultery, you kill them both. Boom. Okay. All right. So we got kind of the stage kind of set now. What's really ugly here? I mean, what's really worrisome? What's of concern? What's the loose end here? Yep. Pregnancy. That's the loose end. Okay. Because you're never a little pregnant. It's not like something you get up the next morning and you're okay. No. All right. So now the cover up begins. And you know what they always say in politics? It's not the sin, it's the cover up. Yeah. Well, now the cover up begins. Okay. So David sent word to Joab. Oh, this Joab, he is something else. Yeah, he'll come up again later, hopefully. This is a dude that you would think would kill you by looking at you. He's really something else. Obviously, he is so loyal to the king, just absolutely loyal to the king. Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. Then Uriah came to him. David asked him how Joab was and the soldiers were and how the war was going. Well, if you wanted to know that, you'd talk to the commander, which is Joab. So he's just filling time here. He's just making chit-chat with Uriah. Okay. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the place, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all the master's servants and did not go down to his house. Okay? Now, the thing that really threw me in this text was wash your feet. That's got to mean something more than washing your feet. Okay? It's got to be some kind of euphemism, either to prepare to have sex or to have sex. It has to be. It has to be something. Because every once in a while in a text, the word feet will be a euphemism for genitals. You'll see that. Oh, no. It's well known. It's well known. I'll give you one. How about Isaiah chapter 6, where is it seraphims or cherubims with six wings and with two he covered his eyes and with two he covered his feet and with two he flew. Okay. Yeah, he's not covered his feet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it. I just want to say that we know that every once in a while feet is used. And I didn't bring this up when we did Ruth either. But it should be brought up when we did Ruth. Okay, we may have had some teenagers in the room, and I didn't want to do that. Okay, but where it says that she uncovered Boaz's feet on the threshing floor. Huh? Exactly. So there has to be something in the language that we're missing, okay? And that's what I'm saying. This kind of threw me here as well. You know, what I think he's doing is instructing, oh, you can go home and be with your wife and have, be in her bed tonight and be with her. Okay. You got, what do you call that when you get time off in the army? R&R. Okay. Okay. So we better rush on. But you get the idea that now, what's David trying to do? What is he trying to do with Uriah? Cover up what? You're going to blame the baby on your eye. Okay, good. We all got that. We're on the same page for that. Okay, where is it? David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the Ark of Israel and Judah are staying in tents. My commander Joab and the Lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house, eat and drink, and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. That's one way to look at this. Another way to look at this is he doesn't much care about being with this woman anyway. I would think if I was out in the field and they sent me home in the same town where Joan's at, I will beat the feet till I get there. Right? You know, said, did you ever walk over and it's, huh? Oh, you did. Oh, you did. You know what that means. Yeah, that's a euphemism for running over there. All right. But I'm just telling you, you know, do you want to be with her or not? No, it's not a high priority for him. And I know that it gets weighted. It could be just to be so honorable that, okay. All right. Yeah, that's fine. But he's, yeah. Okay. All right, go to the next one. David tries again. And David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow we'll send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And David's invitation, he ate and drank with him. David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on the mat among the master's servants. He did not go home. There's no way to make this guy go be with that woman. I don't care how beautiful she is. He's not going. Huh? I don't know. I had never thought of that. I hadn't thought about it. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Kim. I missed. Oh, I have no idea. They keep messing around. He's going to really be pretty good. Okay. David develops another plan. Plan A doesn't work. Go to plan B. So the plan. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab sent with Uriah. In what he put Uriah out in front where the fighting is the fiercest. Withdraw, for he will be struck down and die. But while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah out in a place where he knew to be the strongest defenders. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. So now you have that on David's hands, you have adultery, and now you have murder. Yeah. But he set this up. And remember, Joab will follow to the letter of the law what King David tells him. He's a stickler like that. His name will come up again at evening. We'll get to it. We will. Okay. So Joab then reports back to David how things went. Okay. Joab sent to David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, when you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up. He may ask you, why did you get so close to the city and fight? Don't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? He's trying to prepare the messenger that David may be upset, but it'll all be show. It'll all be play, because he knows what Joab's going to do. What he tells him to do, and Joab will get the job done. He will know what the job is. He will get it done. That's him. Okay. So the messenger comes back with the message. The messenger sent out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance of the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at the servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." Now there's a little gap I know in here, and it's about a millstone being thrown over the wall and that kind of thing. Upshot of this is what? Uriah's dead. And he is dead at the hands of David by way of Joab and the war. Okay. But it was set up. Uriah was set up and he was killed. Okay. David encourages Joab, and I don't see Joab needing encouragement here, but so I think this is all show. I think this is all show here, but he may need. David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it. Say this to encourage Joab." And so if Joab needs it, then I guess he needs it. But, I thought it was just maybe show on the part of David. Misgivings about. Well, I'm glad you brought that out. Yeah, I kind of skipped over that. So, you're having to kill. You got collateral damage to kill Uriah, cost also some other men. Yeah. And of course, what a web we weave when we practice to deceive, and when we start down those roads. One guy talked about sin. He said, "Sin will always take you further down the road than you ever in thought you might go." Yeah. Or what they did. You don't think that she was out there bathing just happenstance, do you? You know the king's up walking, wandering around up there on the palace. She knows where to be. She knows where to be. This is real. Huh? I'm sorry. One thing you can't say about Bathsheba anywhere in the text is she's innocent. No. No. Uh-oh. Now, we don't know whether this is early morning or evening. During the night. That's where I'm going. Yeah, during the night. So, well, she had the lamp on. I wanted to suggest that. That's all I wanted, to at least put that out there as a suggestion, that this is a woman who is, why do you say it? Not appreciated. Not appreciated. Not appreciated. That's all up for grabs. I know that. And it's not the main part of the story. The main part of the story I want to get across to you, and we got time to do this. We're going to do some other stuff. Okay. The main thing I want to get across to you, do you see how God uses? I don't mean that in a bad way. How God used this woman and this ugly situation, which we have not denied ourselves to see how ugly this situation is, but to know how ugly this situation, that God used her to accomplish his purpose. Because she's in the genealogy of Jesus. That means the line of Jesus comes directly through her on the way. Yeah. But I want to add a caveat to this too. Her and David produced maybe the wisest man that has ever lived on this earth. And who arguably became the greatest king that Israel ever had. Arguably. Now you can argue others. And go ahead. Okay, where does this come from? Not a pretty beginning. And all I want to say to you is if you think you've sinned in such a way that God can't use you, I want you to get that out of your head, okay? God can use you. Now, you'll have to go through forgiveness. I understand that. You need to go through forgiveness. And it is a tough route to go. We're going to talk about this, too, with David, okay? Is that the end of our story? Is that it? No? When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. He doesn't get off the hook. He doesn't get off the hook, and neither does she. Is that the end of it now? Okay. All right. Two other things I think we should do. So here's David, and he thinks he's got everything taken care of, except Nathan the prophet comes to save him. And most of you know the story. What Nathan does is he's brilliant. He's God-led, of course, but he's brilliant, and he talks to David in the language David understands, and that is he talks from the point of view of a shepherd. And he says to David, this parable, I'll see if I can get it pretty much right, okay? Yeah, if you want to, it's the next chapter. It's the next chapter, 2 Samuel 12, roughly 1 through 10. And the parable roughly is this. A poor man and a rich man lived in the same city. The rich man had enormous flocks. And the poor man didn't have, but he had one ewe lamb that he treated like his child. The lamb ate with him. I don't know how that works, okay? The lamb ate with him and that kind of thing. The rich man had a visitor come by to see him. Instead of killing one out of his flock, he took the poor man's and killed it for the visitor that had come to see him. And David is just outraged, because this makes sense to David. You know, he's talking in terms of the shepherd and that kind of thing, and caring for sheep and that kind of thing. And David said, the man ought to die right off the bat. You know, he was like enraged. He's enraged. He's, yeah. And then Nathan told him with one of the bravest lines you'll read in the Bible. Tell the king, you are the man. So that is where we that is where he said, you are the man. And so now what happens to David? Because he is going to suffer the consequences of his sin. Now he may be forgiven, but he still has to face the consequences of his sin. And if you know, the Bible calls for payback fourfold. That's what the Bible calls for. So instead of David dying, because he changes his mind, so he pay back fourfold, you pay back fourfold. So how does David pay back fourfold? I'm sorry? First of all, the baby dies. Mm-hmm. The baby dies. Baby does not make it. Okay? That's the first one. That's in, I got 2 Samuel 12:18 for that. Child dies. Okay? 2 Samuel 13:30, Absalom, one of David's sons, kills another son of his, Amnon. No, Amnon. A-M-N-O-N. So how many is that? Two. I'm sorry? Yeah, Absalom. Remember I told you about Joab? There was an uprising which Absalom was going to overthrow his father, David. And of course, David would never kill Absalom. He just wouldn't do it. He'd rather die himself. So he wouldn't do it. Joab knew this. The story is that Joab caught Absalom in a tree, hung up with his hair in a tree, and he had three javelins in his hand stuck him running through. Joab killed him because it needed to be done. It needed to be done. He did it. And Joab would surely do it. So there's, how many is that? Three. When King Solomon took the throne, he had one of his brothers killed because his I won't be able to pronounce it. I think A-D-O-N-I-J-A-H is the name of that, and that is in 1 Kings 2:25. Because the He made a move for the throne, is what it is. It's not all that clear, okay? But that's what it was. It was a move to take the throne away from Solomon. Solomon just had him killed into that. And so we got the Bible record now is that all these four sons of David, and it is said that the sword would never leave his house because of that too, and it doesn't. These guys kill each other and go on about it, okay? So, the consequences are that in the family, he paid back fourfold. David paid back fourfold. Okay, did anybody see any similar between Bathsheba and Abigail? Husband dies, David takes the woman. Same thing. Husband dies, David takes the woman. And that's what he does here. Yeah. Husband dies, Uriah dies, he takes the woman. Okay? All right. Main lesson that I want us to learn, that you cannot get beyond where God can help you, and you become useful in the kingdom of God in such a way that you can fulfill and be in the life that God calls you to have. The other thing to learn about this text is the Bible is brutally honest with us about the good and the bad. It doesn't pull any punches. And you can rely upon. In other words, it doesn't try to make David look good in this situation. And there's no real effort to make him look bad, I don't think, either. He just does this on his own. But look at bad. you know. And so with her, and same with her. But again, let me remind you, is at least two things we can attribute this woman to doing. Number one, she made it into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And she gets a mention there too. She gets a mention there. And the second thing that David and her do is they produce the next king, which is arguably one of the smartest men and one of the best kings that Israel ever had. So don't discredit them just because they've got off to a bad start. That's putting in mind. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah. And that's why I want just, you know, not to put that judgment glass on, especially too quickly here. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, a couple of things. Number one is she made it to the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Secondly, her and David produced one of the greatest kings that ever ruled Israel, King Solomon, arguably one of the wisest men that had ever lived on planet Earth. Okay? So they really did a lot of good together. That's all I want to say. Go ahead. I think that's noteworthy. I think she was distasteful to him. Yeah. She's been with you all along on this. Okay, she's been with. Yeah. 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 Okay. We good? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word being so honest with us. And it reminds us that you deal with real people and real situations of life. And we want to give you thanks that you have a way of working these things out. As we sing in the song, you make a way where there was no way. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. that we might serve you better in this life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys did good tonight, okay? There was no rotten tomato, none of that. And we didn't leave hardly any in this discussion. We didn't leave hardly any stones unturned. You know, they say, I thought we did good with that. You know, because you need to do that. There's always two sides to the story, as you said. It takes two to tangle, but there's always two sides of the story, and we look at it a couple different ways. Okay? I still think you're right. Wasn't paying any attention. Oh. Let me see here. I want to say Naaman, but I don't. Naaman. Oh, Naaman. 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 That lousy Syrian. No, let me see if I point you in some direction there. 2 Kings 5 and following. 2 Kings 5, chapter 5 and following, okay? If you want to read ahead, I'm sorry, I should mark that. I'll try to remember to do that from now on. Next one is Naaman, 2 Kings 5 and following. I know that. I try to say that with me and just me and my wife here.